This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Billy Jack, a podcast series where we discuss some of the greatest matches of all time through the eyes of a non-wrestling fan. And who is that non-wrestling fan? Well, first of all, my name is Drew, and the non-wrestling fan would be Jordan Darby.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing okay, thank you. I did want to say at the start of the show, I forgot last time, I do need to give credit to the person that came up with the title of the show, You Don't Know Billy Jack. That would, of course, be Kevin Hare, a longtime friend and former co-host of a podcast with me. So thank you, Kevin, for the name.
Thank you, Kevin.
Now, first things first, really quick. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I don't know what to expect as we enter the thick of the 80s.
Yes. Well, we'll get to that, won't we, in just a minute.
Yeah.
So we're going to be watching today Starrcade 85, very famous match, Tully Blanchard versus Magnum TA, I Quit, steel cage match for the U.S. title. Very, very famous match. And we were doing a little test of our audio beforehand, and we stumbled upon the Abdullah the Butcher versus the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez Mexican hat on a pole match.
That was something.
So wonderful. I'm glad Jordan got to see a little bit of that. But before we get to that, really quickly, Jordan, I know we talked about it before, but I'm letting you borrow that.
Oh, cool.
What I'm giving him is a CD of Born Too Late by St. Vitus.
All right. Recorded at Total Access.
Yeah. That's Spot. Cool. Spot's the producer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, so let me know what you think of it.
Yeah, I will.
I'm curious. Jordan, of course, a big SST Records fan. Not very familiar with St. Vitus, correct?
Yeah, no, that's right. I've kind of, for one reason or another, just steered clear of them, to tell you the truth.
I don't know why. Yeah, let me know what you think. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what you think of that one.
Yeah, I'm tentative on the vocal stylings.
Have you heard him before?
Rhino? I have. Yeah, you played something. Was he in a band called like Spirit Caravan or?
Yeah.
I think I heard some of that and something else, but
yeah,
you know that whole genre is a little
iffy for you.
Yeah,
to say the least.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's the. I'll be interested to hear what you think of that one. Like we've talked about before, Born Too Late is like the legendary record of theirs.
Mm.
And it's not one of my favorites of theirs, so I don't know. I've listened to it dozens and dozens of times, and it never really sticks with me the way it should.
Hmm.
But we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, so let me know what you think. And, anyways, I guess we should get into this match here now. So like I said, from Starrcade 85, Tully Blanchard, the U.S. champion versus Magnum TA, U.S. title match, I Quit, steel cage match. Now, what we're going to do, of course, as always, we will be doing a live watch of the match. We'll be discussing anything that comes up along the way, any questions that Jordan may have related to the match or not related to the match. And afterwards, of course, I will be asking you, Jordan, a series of questions, my own version of the famous questionnaire by Bernard Pivot.
Cool.
Shall we get to it then?
Yeah, let's see what this is.
Okay. Here we go. So this is this promotion. This is the NWA / Jim Crockett Promotions.
Who's Mr. Star?
Excuse me?
Well, why is it called Starrcade, but the star is spelled with two R's?
Oh, so that's the title of the show, Starrcade 85.
Okay.
Starrcade is the series.
I see.
Dusty Rhodes invented the name.
Okay.
And I don't know where it came from.
Okay.
If it was like Arcade, but Starrcade, I don't know.
Hmm.
So that's Tully Blanchard right there. Anyway, so the NWA / Jim Crockett Promotions eventually became WCW. Does that mean anything to you?
WCW, I've heard of. Yeah.
So that was like the second big promotion,
right,
through the 90s. They're out of business now. The WWF bought them out.
Okay.
But so they were a real big promotion during this time period.
Okay.
And so if you look, Magnum TA is already in the ring.
Okay.
That's him.
Whoa. Dude, he looks sketchy. He looks like a feral cat.
Oh.
So, this idea of this cage match,
mm-hmm,
at this point in wrestling, is this like a pretty established,
yes,
form?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's leading up, you know, whatever happened throughout their feud, and we can go into that, but it's designed so no one can get in and no one can get out.
Right.
Because
it's a death match, no holds barred type idea, right?
Yeah. So it's an I quit match, so that there's no pinfalls, no submissions. Look at Magnum. Oh, man. So it's, you have to say I quit.
Okay.
And so throughout the feud, they've had a ton of matches, months and months worth of matches, but there's always been some instance where Baby Doll, she'll interfere and cost Magnum the title.
Okay.
Or the four horsemen, who are kind of just forming now, they'll
meddle in this legendary feud.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's the way it all started. I guess I'm directing you, but Baby Doll interfered initially in a U.S. title match.
Sure.
Between them.
Okay.
She dressed as a security guard and
fooled everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which cost Magnum the title, because he used to have the U.S. title.
Okay.
Look at him, Magnum. He's got my favorite look in all of wrestling.
Like head to toe?
Yeah.
He looks really crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he looks furious.
Yeah. Because like I said, this feud has been building for months and months.
Yeah. Now, Baby Doll is also a wrestler?
No, she's like a valet manager type character.
Are there a lot of female wrestlers at this point?
No, not really. Especially not in here.
Yeah.
In, you know, Jim Crockett. In Japan, it was real big, of course. But there were some, like, in, you know, other parts, but not, they didn't do too much women's matches in Jim Crockett. So you can see this is like a real, you know, real heavy feud, real big,
right,
personal conflict here. Although maybe I shouldn't have told you that.
No, I mean, you can read it. I mean, it seems like their body language is setting it up that way.
Yeah.
So where is this, and like, what's this arena like?
So this is at, so is this in,
is in, this in the south, right?
Yeah. So Starrcade 85 was split between two venues. It was split between the Greensboro Coliseum in North Carolina, mm-hmm, and the Omni in Atlanta. And now this was in, I believe, Greensboro. Yeah, it was. This was in Greensboro, because I know the other one had the Manny Fernandez match, and it had the big main event, the Ric Flair Dusty Rhodes match.
Okay.
And so this is not the world title. This is the U.S. title, which is like a second tier.
Okay.
But still very prestigious belt.
Okay. And is this promotion, are they mainly Southern, or is this...
Yes. Yeah, they eventually tried to And eventually they were successful as WCW in becoming a national promotion.
Sure.
But yeah, this is still very much when the territories existed.
The territories, yeah.
And so if you see, he's just starting to bleed a little bit now. Yeah. Magnum is.
Yeah. Right. Is there a perceived, like, hero and villain here, or...
Well, let me ask you that. Who do you think is who?
I think that Magnum is the villain.
Okay. And why do you think that?
Because he was kind of just waiting there brooding.
Uh-huh.
And he looked really furious. And the other guy has his girl and the belt and all that. But
yeah, interesting. Okay.
But they are cheering for him, so I don't know. I'll have to maybe see what the crowd tells me.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to answer that for you, or do you want to just take it in a little bit?
Let's just see what happens for a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
The Magnum guy is getting more, like, crowd reaction, so...
Mm-hmm. And so there was, during this feud, there's a really famous part of the feud where Magnum was doing a promo and Baby Doll was standing there, and he said something along the lines of, you want to know what it's like to be with a real man, and kissed her, which of course is like insane.
Yeah.
And the announcer who was doing the interview started freaking out. Oh, she likes it. She likes it. Oh, look at her.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah,
this is truly a subcultural
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. And so we'll... There's a lot to talk about here. It's kind of semi-related to all this, but I'm not sure how much we want to talk about it now versus... after the match ends. I don't know, what have you been noticing that's been going on in the match here?
There's a lot of blood now.
So Tully's arm is bleeding.
Tully's arm is bleeding. And what is he doing? What was he doing? He was holding some kind of...
He was holding the microphone.
Oh, and he was doing like a fellatio thing, or he's trying to get him to say I quit, but it's right by his penis.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe he's punching the arm now.
Yeah,
the bloody arm.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of like just brutalizing each other.
Yeah. I'm going to turn it up just a hair.
Yeah.
And you know what? Why not? Just a hair more.
Give us another, boost.
The folks.
Okay. Yeah, there is a lot more, like, I don't know if it's the miking or what, but there's a lot more audible from the actual wrestlers.
Yeah.
You didn't really hear that in these other matches.
No.
That we've watched so far.
No.
Like, they're grunting and groaning, and now apparently swearing. And... So would this have been on, like, a pay-per-view type thing?
So this was before pay-per-view. It's closed circuit TV.
Mm-hmm. Dude. Oh, there's a good deal of blood now.
Yeah.
On both of them.
Yeah.
And they're... Dude. Yeah, they're ramming the mic down each other's throats.
Yeah. This is one that Isabel has walked in on me watching before. Where it's like, what are you watching?
Yeah, this is pretty, like, primitive.
Yeah. Yeah, so this would have been closed circuit TV at this at this point, I believe. This was these Starcade shows, these idea of like a big super card that's televised is kind of the precursor to pay-per-view.
Okay.
But not, you know what? I'm actually not sure when the first, I should know this because this is, you know, this is like, I should say this is like my favorite promotion of all time.
Huh.
So this into WCW.
Okay.
My favorite promotion.
Well, it's really shady.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's a part of the appeal for you.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And this isn't even like this, you know, the worst. He sounds like Tom Warrior from Celtic Frost.
Tom Warrior.
Yeah, so anyway, so this I can't actually think of what the first actual pay-per-view from them was.
Like this would be a forerunner to that.
Yeah, so it started in 83, Starcade 83, 84, 85 on okay. up. And that was like a big
whoa.
Like a pretty revolutionary idea. So now what we're seeing is it's both guys.
They're pretty exhausted. They've pretty much been fighting on their knees for the past 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh. The blonde man keeps putting the microphone by his penis and making the guy like groan into it.
Yes. Magnum. Magnum TA.
Magnum TA.
Great name.
And Tully?
Tully. Tully Blanchard. And I'm glad we've got the volume turned up because I hope this comes through on the audio.
Yeah, this is important.
Yeah.
Now he's going for his eyes.
Yeah. So they're not even doing, you know, wrestling moves or anything.
No. They've just been kind of clawing at each other, and like I said, I haven't seen them on their feet in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And now Magnum's mane is like brown.
Look at that.
Yeah. They're both really bloody.
Magnum's mane.
Yeah, so like I said, it sounds like Magnum gets more of the cheers.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it then?
You want me to tell you now?
Yeah.
So he's the hero. He's the good guy.
Okay.
The idea though is that yeah, he's kind of been pushed so far though.
I see.
Because he's a real like tough guy babyface. Uh-huh. Some of them are like pretty boys or like real moral heroes, you know, like Hulk Hogan or something. But he's like a tough guy.
Okay.
A tough guy babyface to where, you know, you can only push him so far.
Okay. Like, was Hogan a babyface?
Yes. Yeah. Like, the biggest, you know? Yeah. But of course, the whole thing with Hulk Hogan is that if you actually, like, watch his mannerisms and his actions, it's, like, really, he does really bad things.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going on each other.
You hear him breathing in the pop of the mic, you know?
Yeah, boom, boom, yeah.
When they hit each other. And we got Baby Doll on the outside.
Yeah, they've been giving her a lot of screen time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if she's going to find her way into the ring.
I don't know. But yeah, so Tully, he's the bad guy. He's like a playboy type.
Okay.
It's like a rich playboy party animal.
Oh, he just threw the ref by the head. Gosh. Dude, a chair just fell from the sky, and he grabbed it. What in the
world? So what did he do?
He broke the chair into pieces, and now he's fashioned like a claw hammer out of it, and he's going on the ref.
Uh-oh.
Now the crowd's getting a little berserk.
So what's he get? What's
he's trying to get this chair piece into the Magnum's eye. This is pretty brutal. I know it's not real, but I'm afraid for them to, like, do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So it is real in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all in. At this point, they're all in.
Yes.
Like, they're both bloody and tired, and they're using these broken shards of wood.
Yes. Yeah. And they've done interviews about this match before, and that's kind of what they've said, is, like, we were just pushing ourselves.
Like, they've bought in. You can tell. You can tell.
Yeah.
Like, they're going on each other now. He just jammed that wood onto his forehead. Magnum jammed the wood onto Tully's forehead.
And that's
totally
it.
Totally submitted. He said, I quit.
Said yes. The ref was asking, do you quit?
Oh.
Look at Magnum's face now.
He looks like a proto Hogan.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Like the.
Look at that. You see that? Did you notice that?
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to go at him again.
Yeah,
he looks at it, threw it down. Look at this.
The crowd's going crazy.
Slings it over his shoulder, walks out of the cage.
And then the baby face is... Or what's her name? Baby doll?
Baby doll.
Baby doll's left to pick up the pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, so this was 85. This is right when Hogan is ascending. Okay. So he's had... Hogan, you know, really... Hulkamania started at 84. 85, you know, that's when everything really...
Oh, okay. So this is concurrent to all that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, he looks like a wild animal.
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy Valiant, man, oh man. We're gonna talk. Let's not pay too close attention to this, but Jimmy Valiant is a wrestler that I really really like.
But what's happening now isn't considered part of the greatest.
This is a different match. Yeah, yeah. Well. Depending on who you ask, this may be a greatest match of all time. But we're just going to leave this on because I do want you to see Jimmy Valiant. But, okay. So there's a lot to talk about here.
Oh, sure.
Midnight Express is coming out. Look at that. Jim Cornette, the Midnight Express.
This looks like a bad new wave, like a southern new wave band.
Beautiful Bobby and Loverboy Dennis.
Look at these guys.
Oh, my gosh.
They look like they're at a wedding.
Oh. Unreal. I will say, you know, we were thinking of names for Hazel if she was a boy.
No.
I was pushing for Robert.
So you could say Beautiful Bobby.
Beautiful Bobby. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. There's a lot to talk about. First of all, yes, there's Big Mama.
Whoa.
Miss Atlanta Lively.
There's Jimmy. Now this is why you like this promotion.
Yes.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Jimmy Valiant. Miss Atlanta Lively. Big Mama.
Big Mama.
She has the black afro.
Yeah, this isn't right here. This looks a little deviant.
Look at Jimmy Valiant. The Boogie Woogie Man,
oh,
Jordan.
Man.
Oh, man.
What the heck?
Street People USA. That's his fans.
Okay, there it is.
And so this.
Whoa.
This guy now, Jimmy Valiant, he has.
Boogeyman.
He has.
He looks like he's on cocaine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he was at this time. He has a. right now, you know, he has a tattoo of a bandana around his head.
Whoa.
And he has wrestling boots tattooed on his legs.
Whoa.
Yeah. Lifer.
The definitive lifer.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot to talk about. A lot to talk about with this previous match. Mm. Should I turn this off?
I mean, I don't know if you can handle it. I'm fine to keep it on.
Okay, I'll see. If I get distracted one more time, then we'll have to turn it off, because it's, man, oh man. Anyways, so that match, let me first just say, Magnum and Tully. So Tully does not, he kind of burned out in 1989.
Okay.
He still wrestled on and off, but a lot of drug problems. He's still alive, but... you know, kind of burned a lot of bridges and stuff. Magnum TA, as you can see, was poised to be like the next big thing.
Sure, that's what it felt like.
They had plans for him to win the world heavyweight title, and he was going to be...
What's the world heavyweight title?
So that's the NWA world heavyweight title. That's the big belt. That's the main belt.
Within this promotion.
So it gets a little complicated because it's actually...
Sorry, this is too ruckus. You got to turn this off. Okay. They're going crazy on each other. There's powder and they're all just freaking out on each other. Sorry, dude. Right. We can't be having that on right now.
Okay. So the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance, is a governing body.
Okay.
That decides. So there's like an NWA World Heavyweight Title, World Tag Team Titles, that kind of thing, and there's the NWA kind of overseeing a lot of different smaller territories.
Okay.
And so, like the heavyweight champion, the World Heavyweight Champion, he was the. Requirement was that he would go to all these different territories and wrestle.
Okay.
And so that each territory would have their...
They get a little bit...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their hometown babyface, or, you know, their hometown hero who would go against the champ.
Okay.
So...
And so the Jimmy Crockett, or what's the...
Jim Crockett Promotions.
So that's one of the territories, or...
One of the territories... This is when it started shifting to where... the NWA was, because a lot of the territories were starting to either leave the NWA or fold.
Mm-hmm.
So the NWA kind of slowly became synonymous with Jim Crockett Promotions.
Okay.
And so it was at this point, and even more so in like 86, 87, 88, they were almost interchangeable. But the World Heavyweight Championship, yeah, that's the big title.
Okay.
And specifically in this promotion, but around all the promotions as well. And then the other territories would have smaller regional titles, you know, where they could be defended on their own big shows or whatever. But yeah, so Magnum, he was being groomed, and like, I mean, you can see he had only been wrestling a few years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really good. Great look, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was going to win the big belt in a year or so. In October of the next year, 1986, he got in a really bad car accident. He wasn't drinking, nothing like that. It was just kind of, I think that maybe the roads were wet or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he got in a real bad car accident, and that ended his wrestling career.
Sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, what does he do now?
I think, like, real estate or something. Like, he's done well for himself.
Okay.
Like he's not like a sad, like,
okay,
you know,
he's
real
in some kind of job.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you hope for. With
wrestlers. Like, I just don't want him to be homeless.
No.
Or, okay.
No. So he's like, he's taking care of himself, and that company, they employed him in various capacities for the next several years.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was like,
so is he like a great what if?
I mean, the greatest. Maybe the greatest, yeah. Because, like, you look, and he was, I think, 26 here.
Crazy, yeah.
So, I mean, 10 years from now, that would have been 1995. He would have been 36, which is...
What's 36 in wrestling?
So...
Because, like, in, like, baseball, you're not playing at that point.
Yeah. So, it's a little different throughout the eras, but... 36, 37, especially now, you're just starting to hit your peak because it's kind of a, there's kind of a cross section where maybe like you're, maybe you're just on the downside of your physical peak or, you know, barely, but you've also most likely had 10 to 15 years of experience and you've got a little bit of maturity to understand the real psychological and the real emotional and mental aspects of wrestling too.
You've also been able to like have the fans invest in you and create, you create these storylines and all that, right?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, in 1995, that was just on the cusp of the biggest wrestling boom in American history. So, I mean, who knows where Magnum would have been at that time. And, I mean, it's a, just a huge what if. But, you know, there's so many things where if he would have gotten the heavyweight title in the next year or so, because Crockett, Jim Crockett Promotions actually went out of business.
Okay.
And were bought by Ted Turner.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah. And then became WCW. And, you know, so it's like, and there were a lot of reasons for that, mismanagement of money. And, you know, I mean, you know, there's infinite reasons that we don't
need to go into. Yeah, of course.
But, you know, it's just what, who knows what would have happened, you know? So anyways, that's those guys. Now, so we'll, let's get to the questions, I guess, that I have.
Yeah.
General thoughts on that match.
That was a good match. I liked the brevity of it.
Yeah.
That's cool that they just went for it and it's like kind of a meat and potatoes thing.
Yeah.
I feel like Baby Doll was like a really important element for me because that kept it wrestling instead of like a fake fight. Like,
go into that.
Well, because they're kind of just going on each other, and they're all hard, and they're heavy, and they're breathing all hard. And they're not, like we talked about before, they're not necessarily working with the crowd, or there's not, like, a theatrical element to it. So, she's like a totem. Like, she's like a way for me to remember it's this world that they've made. And it's like, it's still, it's like theater. As opposed to, like, what are they just trying to be, like, a UFC type?
Oh, right.
You know, like, and it's like they're fighting. They're just guys, like, fighting.
Right, yeah.
So, it was like, as someone who doesn't know anything about these guys or any of this story, having that was a point of entry to, like, keep remembering that, which was cool. I thought that was good. That was good for, you know, and that's, that was important for me to put it in the scope of, like, everything that we've seen so far. But yeah, I liked it. That may be my favorite so far.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, that'll... Don't jump ahead. So, yeah, I mean, you already answered number two. Did you like the match? Why or not? You answered that. Number three, what was the story the wrestlers were trying to convey in your mind?
Okay, so that's where I was a little mixed up at first because you had Magnum in the ring... And he was brooding, and he looked furious, like, from the beginning. And then Tully, right?
Yeah.
Tully comes in, and he's got the huge belt, the ridiculous, like, belt thing. And he's got the woman, and he, the crowd, I mean, it, I didn't get a sense that, I didn't hear a lot of, like, booing or anything when he came in.
Right, yeah.
So it was hard for me to understand that he was the... I don't know what you'd call... do you call him a villain? Is it... or is
Well, the heel. Babyface and the heel.
Okay. So, I didn't immediately get that impression. But when they went in, you could tell there was immediate animosity and history. And they just went at each other. And it wasn't like... There was nothing sly about it or... You know, in some of the other matches, I feel like even when... you're going to have to forgive me for not remembering some of the names, but like in some of the Japanese matches we saw, even when there was history there, it didn't feel like intense like this. And it felt like they were going to go for it. And they both had something to prove, but the Magnum guy was like, he would just went the entire time.
Yeah.
And And when he was going, the crowd was kind of different in this one because they were there, but like when he would get into it, they would go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then it was pretty dull roar when he wasn't doing much.
Mm-hmm.
So you could tell, like, obviously he was the, as the match went on, it was like, oh, okay, he's the guy that everyone wants, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's really interesting because, like I said, this match kind of represents a point where he's moved beyond a babyface almost to where, like, he's been pushed too far.
Mm-hmm.
So he's exhibiting a lot of heel traits or villainous traits.
Yeah, that was the impression I got.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't... The crowd was behind him, but, like, I didn't feel... I didn't feel, like, necessarily good rooting for him.
Yeah, this didn't feel like a good guy who's trying to triumph over evil.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, number four, can you see why this match would be considered one of the greatest of all time?
I could, because this one kind of... This might be the first match where there was a little bit more of a transcendent element to it, where you could tell at a certain point, like right before that chair went in,
mm-hmm.
that they had, like I said, during the match, they had like bought into it.
Right.
And they like became the characters. And that's why I was like, dude, I wonder if one of these guys is really going to really get hurt
mm-hmm.
just on accident or through them, like, now they're in.
Yeah.
And so then that chair gets thrown in, and they're really going for it, and you could just tell, you know.
Yeah.
Like you had said, I guess they pointed out later, that they were just going to push it as far as they could go. And so, so for that reason, yeah, I mean, I think that alone, I could see why it'd be on a list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of examples of people talking about this, but something that like old school wrestlers and managers, people related to the wrestling business, something they'll talk about a lot is that the crowd, you know, in the crowd, you know, 95% of the people, they know it's not real.
Sure.
It's like, you know, we get it, you know.
You're the 5%
who believes wholeheartedly.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. But the, you know, so 95% of the people, they know, or, you know, 90, rather, I guess 95% of what they're seeing is real.
Sure.
You know, most people know it's not real, but then they'll see something. Oh, you know, I know that, you know, Abdullah the Butcher, I know that's not real.
I can't get enough of that. That is too much.
But it's like, you know, I know that's not real, but when Magnum and Tully, when they wrestle, that's real,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, to your point, we watched this, that clown show just now that I made you turn off.
Yes.
Where they're wagging their wigs around and they're throwing powder on each other.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's different.
Right.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's finding that as we're watching these matches, I'm discovering a little bit more, I'm being able to voice a little bit better about maybe what I'm looking for, and mm-hmm. it seems to be there's got to be a cross section. Like, I don't want it to be real in the sense of like fighting,
right?
Because I don't like watching fights personally, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. like B, that's not what this is designed for,
right? Yeah,
but like it, there's got to be some happy medium between a glimpse of something real amongst the theater,
mm-hmm.
because it gives it an energy that you can't reproduce through just like phoning it in, like, okay, we're going to do this and I'll pin you here or whatever.
Yeah.
There's got to be a rogue element where anything could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's good. And I've purposefully been avoiding telling you what you're supposed to look for in a match,
sure.
to make it a good match, but for that reason.
Yeah.
But that's very, you had very, very interesting comments there about it being transcendent. That's a lot of the case for this match, and that's what other people have said about this, this match, is where it, and I'm thinking specifically about a podcast that I really, one of my very, very favorite podcasts. It's called Where the Big Boys Play.
Mm.
But they reviewed this show, and they've talked about this match before. Hmm. And it's another one that's on the Place to Be Nation network. So that you know, that's the website that this
is on. Got it, yeah.
So anyway, so that's something where it's like they've pointed out, you know, this is a match where it goes beyond, it's about more than wrestling.
Exactly.
So that's really, really interesting that you pointed that out in those terms even.
Hmm.
So that's interesting. So I guess the last question, where does this match rank in relation to the others we've watched? Well, let's rank the matches for you now.
Yeah, this, man, I wonder if I'm just, I don't know if I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to feel, but I feel like this one is first.
Yeah, okay.
And then the we're kind of going in order, mm-hmm. basically, for me.
So this Magnum Tully first, New Japan Gauntlet,
mm-hmm.
second, MS1 versus Sangre Chicana, third.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's like when you fill in the SAT bubbles and you just do like A, B, and then C, but it's ticking off the boxes that, like I said, I'm maybe kind of looking for that. This is subconscious. I don't really know what to look for, but it just had those elements. And I don't like the look of that sick Magnum guy,
mm-hmm.
but like he has the look for a wrestler.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
And again, he doesn't look like a UFC guy.
Right.
But he looks like a wrestler.
He looks like a wrestler.
And that's, I think that's important.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, like I said, I think he's got the perfect look for a wrestler. If you notice, he's wearing cowboy boots.
Yeah, yeah.
And like he's got facial hair.
Exactly.
And you know, because a lot of them like wax their chest or whatever. Right. But he's got like, he's like rugged and manly.
He's like rugged and manly. Yeah. And he's and really in good shape.
Yeah, jacked, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But he's got that ridiculous mane.
Yes.
And
that's just stuck on the back. It's not like, it's not styled at all or anything.
No, that's the whole thing.
It's not smooth. It's just like it's stuck, you know?
Yeah.
Like a wig.
Yeah, he kind of has the look that you want, you know?
Yeah. So I haven't really told you my thoughts on this match. Are you interested
to
see?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so this is my favorite match of all time.
Huh.
Like that, of any match ever, this is my favorite match.
Cool,
of all time. It represents everything that I think pro wrestling is.
You, the close mic on the gnarly grunting and screaming is like, that was pretty jarring.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you like that.
That it's incredible. Those intangible aspects.
Yeah.
Where you have, I mean, this is pretty good video quality because it's been kind of beefed up a little bit.
Sure.
But it's a dark and grainy arena.
Yeah.
There's blood on the mat from this match and matches before it. There's an old, you know, microphone that's distorted.
Yeah, that mic was kind of gnarly too.
Yeah, yeah. And you can hear all the pops and the screams and everything.
The breathing,
all of that stuff. That's, like I said, Isabel, she watched that and she came in and was like what is this?
Yeah.
Like, and what are you watching?
And there was like, it was void of trash talk.
Yeah.
All that was said was, say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Say it. And then the other guy, no.
Yeah.
That's all that was ever said until the end.
Yeah, so it's like, there's
it was like really visceral.
There's all those just kind of like absurd, uncomfortable kind of things. I really dig all that stuff. But then beyond that, a big thing I wanted to mention, and I was wondering if you were going to hit on it, was that after the match, and I don't know if you felt this way or not. So let me ask you first. What were your feelings about Tully Blanchard after the match? Did you feel anything for him or about him?
No, I mean, he just, it was kind of expected. I guess he just seemed changed, like he was defeated. And then, and then the other man was just so, it was like, he wasn't arrogant. It was just like he came there for the business and he took care of the business and then he was gone.
He was gone.
He grabbed the belt and he, you know, he was going to finish the guy and then he stops and then he leaves or whatever. So
yeah.
But yeah, the other guy was just kind of sad, and then the
yeah. So it's like so you're at this point in this good versus bad, good versus evil battle where now the lines are blurred, and mm-hmm. so you don't really know who's good and who's evil.
For sure. Yeah.
And at the end, there's a loser who's the bad guy, supposedly. You know, who is kind of humiliated and defeated, and you see him and you kind of feel sorry for him.
Sure.
And on the other hand, you have the person who's victorious technically, but, you know, at what cost?
Lost himself a little bit.
Yeah. And so it becomes, for me, it becomes this really interesting allegory of, like, violence and war, you know? And, mm-hmm. like, okay, well, he won. So what?
Yeah.
You know? Like, and look what's left behind.
Yeah, right.
Where there's, yeah, on the surface, this like, party animal, rich guy, playboy, you know, businessman, mover and shaker, but really it's just, like, a sad man. A
sad guy, yeah. Yeah,
and like, I don't know. I think that's, like, there's a very, very deep story mm-hmm. there, and, like, a very deep emotional element, and, like, I've told this before somewhere, I think, but one time recently I watched this match at a Taco Bell in Santa Paula.
Oh, my gosh.
And I started crying watching it.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's like I was sitting there alone in Taco Bell.
In Santa Paula.
In Santa Paula with two nachos Bel Grandes.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude. Just like tearing up, you know? But it's like, it's a very, like, emotional thing. I don't know. And like I said, the element of and the questions it raises about violence you know, deservance or like retribution or whatever, you know what I mean?
That's true. I mean, if we had that on mute, the only way I would have been able to tell who the good guy was Magnum's restraint at the end. Uh-huh. When he's gonna get him after it's already been.
Yeah.
Because a villain would have gotten him again, right?
Right.
Like a heel or whatever.
Yeah.
So if it were on mute, I mean, the entire wrestling match, I wouldn't have been able to confidently tell you
mm-hmm.
who the good guy was until after it was over.
Yeah.
Which says something, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, usually you can entomb that by the way their body language is or.
Yeah.
What they're doing, but
yeah, absolutely. So as far as my rankings, I would have this first, MS1 versus Sangre Chicana second, New Japan Gauntlet third.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really about it. Jordan, any plugs? Now, do you want to let everyone know, the firmness of your mattress in case they want to go into your home and nap in your bed?
We have a horrible mattress. Someone needs to take it away and burn it so I can get another one.
Okay, well, maybe...
That's my plug.
I don't know if you've given out your home address
on the podcast, that.
But if you could please do that for the folks at home.
No, thank you.
Maybe tell them where your hidden key is hiding.
No, thanks. I'm okay. I don't have any plugs of that or any sort right now. Thank you.
Well, okay. As for me, Jordan, you can find me on Twitter. @_burningspirits. I think that's all. I do have the Masashi Takeda article in the Ghoul for the Summer zine available at kaijuclutch.bigcartel.com. This was a good episode. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
All right. See you then.